I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really interesting show in store for you this evening, and yes, as usual, it'll be jam-packed with information. Lots of outside-the-box stuff will be coming your way in the next hour, as well as I'll touch upon a few controversial areas, maybe even get around to a few comments about flat Earth and the difference between spirituality and religion. But we're going to be also talking about some amazing science and how it relates to healing. And before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by doing a little bit of Japa Yoga. And that's a little bit of mantra repetition for the new listeners. And it'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. It's a short clip. Very powerful, and if the guys in the booth would play that now, I'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Om, Hari
Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, a clip from back in the 1970s. And Sri Swami was one of my spiritual teachers. And his influence was mostly on the East Coast. There's still his integral yoga institutes operating. And then there was Paramahansa Yogananda, of course, on mostly on the West Coast. And I had the pleasure to be involved with the teachings from both these great yoga masters. And really, really always found that that Hari Om mantra was a very powerful tool. And especially for those in with a busy lifestyle, you can always tune into the archives of ET Yoga and follow along and take part in that meditation at your leisure. And you can easily find the archives for tonight's program at my website, which is at etyoga.com. And right on the main page, there's a button there called Radio Archives. And you can hit that one button, and it'll take you to about the last 10 programs and even farther if you want to search. And it's quite simple to do. It can also be done directly on my website, but it takes a little bit more explanation and, I guess, more computer skills. So wanted to make that known to the listening audience, as well as I much appreciate hearing your comments concerning potential topics for ET Yoga. And as well, nothing makes my day more than to get correspondence from the listeners with respect to successes that you've had, with respect to techniques, ideas, concepts that you hear on this program. And I know there's lots of people out there who have been ET Yoga listeners for over 10 years now. And much appreciate the quality of the information that comes my way. And from time to time, people do send me links to places that I can look for future information, and also much appreciate that. So my site's at etyoga.com, and my email is at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And some of my family members always get a bang out of the fact that I usually follow that up by saying that I really applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's in an effort to help you with creating your own independence, sovereignty, surrounding excellent health, creating excellent health, and also utilizing the physical body and a lot of the natural ingredients that are out there in this world to deal with issues as they arise. And I do sincerely appreciate those listeners who have emailed me and have thanked me for steering them in the direction that I do. You know, when I was sitting around getting ready for tonight's program, and by the way, this program's coming to you live from Brașov, Romania. And Brașov, Romania is not far from the Busege Mountains, and that's B-U-C-E-G-I. I highly suggest, if you haven't heard about the amazing discoveries in the Busege Mountains, that you check it out. Definitely connects with ET Yoga in the sense that there has been a ancient extraterrestrial base found inside the Busege Mountain. There's a rock sphinx at the top of this mountain. I've taken a cable car there. And, of course, you're not going to get a tour of the ET base because it's all been kept secret and covered up. I actually have a friend who showed me pictures of actually U.S. military that was guarding the proper entrance to where this find has is located. And there are actually four books out on the subject right now. I've read three of them. I've read Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, and The Secret Parchment. I know there's a fourth book out now. I'm not certain of the name of that book. It has something to do with Mysteries of Egypt, because this find is also connected with some tunneling that not only connects the Busej base, extraterrestrial base, but it also, this tunneling connects with Iraq and a stargate there, and it also connects with the Giza Plateau, and also connects to Tibet. And some of the more recent books are coming out are more about some of the experiences of those who have explored some of these tunnels. And the actual base itself contains what I called at the time maybe the most extraordinary archaeological find in human history. It was located via satellite because of some anomalies that were detected in this Busej Mountain area. Inside the base, clearly the furniture would suit that of a giant. And if you don't believe in giants, maybe you better spend some time on the internet checking about all the fossil and skeletons that are found all over the world that are not just tall people, but giants. And this particular find also contains a holographic history of the Earth going back about 50,000 years. It's not been, a topic. Well, it did make mainstream media at one point when the find first came out. And you can go on internet and check and see how the first television station that started covering that was threatened, and afterwards pretty much didn't touch the topic anymore. I guess in point, there is some agreement between Romania and the U.S. that in time, a lot of this information will come out. And of course, like I said, there's four books on the subject. Probably, I think, the most amazing find that I had ever heard of at the time. And maybe that's now been surpassed by the new finds down in Antarctica. And of course, we're not hearing anything about that either. And that is some just of, I'm not going to go into that topic tonight because it's so exhaustive, but you might want to check out David Wilcock and Corey Good. They've got some pretty interesting things to say about what's been found there. And as well, even a few years ago, Bashar came out with information concerning that underneath the Sphinx in Egypt, yes, there have been discovered, again, archaeological histories dating back about 50,000 years. This was about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when Bashar mentioned that probably in a 2 to 3 year period, some of that information would be coming public because the intent of the archaeologist was good and this, that, and the other thing. But in point of fact, we don't hear anything about that one either. So I guess status quo. Let's try to keep the people on the planet away from history, the way it actually was, instead of a lot of this fabricated history that that we're taught, even at the college level, and also keep the extraterrestrial heritage that we have, totally in the dark, because it certainly does lead to more and more people waking up and becoming aware of a lot of information that is more to do with self-empowerment. And in that regard, I guess, you know, because ET Yoga is all about sharing a spiritual journey and its focus is mostly about self-realization, I don't mind sharing with the audience sort of my first observations way back when, and it's a bit like late 60s, I guess, and I'm on a beach, and I hadn't been involved with really any yoga activity. And yoga to me means union of you and your higher self, not what is typically accepted in the West is that yoga, which is the hatha yoga, which is, you know, an important thing and does help to maintain physical health. But yoga to me has always been a union of you and your higher self. And this idea of combining ET and yoga together is because of the amazing information that's out there that's been channeled from extraterrestrial sources to us that help us become more of who we are. And that's how the marriage of ET and yoga came together. So I'm laying on a beach and I'm kind of wondering, like, you know, what's life all about? Like, what's going on here on this planet? Well, during that particular meditation, the information that I got was basically that, you know, Earth is an extraterrestrial, and the people on the Earth were part of an extraterrestrial experiment. And I'm now looking at this a lot of years later, and it more and more confirms that original realization. Interesting, though, that the subjects of the experiment are waking up to realize that they're part of the experiment. And even people like Alex Collier, Andromeda and contactee, have come out and said that there's actually about 22 different extraterrestrial races that have been involved in contributing to our DNA. And yeah, this experiment's ongoing, mostly controlled by certain factions, which I'm not going to go into again on that topic tonight because it's, again, so exhaustive. But certain influences have been controlling the main stream here for a long time, longer than we care to think about. And then shortly thereafter, I had my first real mind-blowing experience with realizing my higher self and spending some time, a few days in that particular state of consciousness. And since that particular time, unlike Sri Ramana Maharshi, who had similar experience, and I highly recommend people check out The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi. That's M-A-H-A-R-S-H-I, Sri Ramana. That's S-R-I, Ramana, R-A-M-A-N-A, Ramana Maharshi. And in my opinion, an enlightened being who, when he had the experience of realizing his higher self, that he stayed there. So he was a very ripe soul, and he was ready to have that particular experience. And I do believe that there's many others that we've never heard about that, you know, I've also had a similar experience to his. And then after that particular experience and looking back on those days, really appreciate a lot of the aspects of that whole hippie generation and how they basically, you know, went against the grain. You know, money wasn't the be-all, end-all, as opposed to mainstream thinking. And the whole I guess distraction or the focus of not being involved with mainstream or what they called establishment in those days really apparently caused the Illuminati a lot of problems. And because the control system is all based on a fear-based mentality, and they feed off the energy. There's even a name for it. It's called Loosh. And the ETs that are mostly been controlling humanity have been, they live on the, they try to keep us into a certain frequency range, basically, and with a two-stranded DNA. So they also manipulated our DNA around so that we're like a hairdryer that's got all its parts there. We got all the, we got the 12 chakras and the 12 strands of DNA, but most people are only functioning with two. And that's another topic that I have gone into at some length on ET Yoga. We'll obviously touch upon it again now and then about activating your 12 strands of DNA and connecting them with your 12 chakra system. And yes, I did say 12 chakra system. I realized that in most of the traditional yoga teachings, when we talk about the seven chakras in the physical body, and we also have five chakras outside the physical body, and making a 12 chakra system. And if you were interested in what I consider to be a very, very powerful technique, it's by Solara on Ra. That's S-O-L-A-R-A-A-N-R-A, Solara on Ra. And her newest YouTube clip related to Pillar of Light. And in that one, she also gets into intending the connection with your 12 strands of DNA and your 12 chakras. So intention being a very key factor. I should also note that other Pleiadian techniques that I consider to be helpful in that area are the Pleiadian spinning techniques, which from time to time I do get into on ET Yoga, and also the, of course, the Pillar of Light as a very fastest way I know to raise your frequency, doing Pillar of Light meditation. And again, from time to time, I do get into specific techniques on the show and take the time to explain that to our listening audience. So going through all that, kind of as a background, about 10 years or so ago, I came out during some of my first shows because I had a certain bunch of information I wanted to get out to the public. One of those related to healing, because I had a specific experience where I was involved in being successful using a healing technique that's not identical to what's being done with these amazing Qigong practitioners in Beijing, China, but similar. And that's why you'll see at my website, ET Yoga, it's still called Healing the Known and the Unknown, because to my way of thinking, it was a very revolutionary way to do healing. And then the more I studied the subject, the more I realized that all dis-ease was connected to dysfunctional emotion. And by dealing with your beliefs, definitions, and that we can really affect our physical health and also do some amazing things that Western medical doesn't want to recognize because they're too busy making health into a business and a profit-making business where they're interested in not in finding cures but into managing illness and putting out a lot of surgeries and assisting the pharmaceutical industry to make profit on a bunch of garbage that we don't need. And basically that was proven by these Beijing practitioners in China doing Qigong. And if you haven't seen Greg Braden's Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes at the YouTube about a woman from the West with an inoperable tumor that goes to this Beijing center in China, and three practitioners, and this is all on video, and they basically dissolved her tumor in about 3 minutes. And just goes to show you what can be done. In the West, that would be considered a miracle, but to the people that are at that particular center, that's just, you know, it's a method. as Greg Braden would say, a technology, if you like. And since that time, that hospital operated, or hospital, it was a Beijing center. It was a Qigong center, but it's more like a hospital without operations of any kind, without, they don't use any pharmaceutical drugs of any kind. And had an amazing cure rate over a 10-year period with all kinds of diseases, from cancer to all kinds of other diseases. And basically everybody does the same techniques. I mean, it's just, you learn the techniques. And since that time, I guess this center got too much attention, and it was also involved with some political issues related to amazing things that people were doing. And so apparently the Chinese government cracked down on these guys, many of them have kind of, I'll use the word, escaped to the West and are teaching here. And one of the teachers from that Beijing center, Master Ming Tong Gu, G-U, that's one of the guys that was at that center. He was probably he wasn't the top guy. Dr. Pang was the top guy that founded the center. But Ming Tong Gu was there and learned all the techniques. And that's where I learned the Qigong sound healing technique from him. And to my way of thinking, Qigong is the way to go. I mean, it taps into the Qi. It's much like acupuncture, where it's involved with keeping your energy systems flowing and not being blocked. Because when emotional dysfunction manifests, and it manifests outside the body in your etheric field first, manifests in the body as physical blockage. And if you can keep all your energy systems flowing and keep tapped into the qi, or the inner energy, then, you know, it's a way to maintain excellent health. And it doesn't cost anything. So Western science, again, really isn't that interested, okay? And personally, if you're out there, and I know you have loved ones and whatever, my opinion is anybody that gets involved with these surgeries and pharmaceutical drugs, I mean, they're just going down the wrong road. And even if you're already healthy or semi-healthy and you're taking all these pills, well, I can't tell you how many people I know are taking 10, 15 pills a day. What that's doing to your liver, what that's doing to your brain, it's no wonder that it's harder and harder these days to be born in a healthy body, and harder to leave here with your brain intact because of Alzheimer's, et cetera. And in my personal opinion, this is all directly related to mainstream medical. Okay. They're creating problems that create profits. Okay. It's called create the problem, wait for the reaction, provide the solution, the same old routine that we've been hearing now for so long. And I really, when I give at the top of the show, I give a disclaimer. My disclaimer is because, according to Pleiadians, and I believe this, that your body is a magnificent, self-healing, self-repairing system and an organic wonder that you have yet to truly appreciate. The belief in a vital, healthy existence is one of the wisest beliefs to embrace. And as true with all beliefs, the bottom line is that you must believe it. And the key to vital health is the ability to sustain love for yourself and excitement for life. And there is no need to embrace any fearful labels of disease. Remember that forgiveness is a self-healing act that releases you from the lower vibrations of anger and judgment. Forgiveness permits you to move forward in the game so you can get on with the adventure of living a joyful life, and you are capable of accomplishing greatness when you believe in yourself. Remind yourself that you are a co-creator of the multiverse, that life is about change, and that everything can be healed if you're willing to do the work. And I see so many people that really are not willing to do the work. What they really want is a magic pill that takes 5 seconds, and then they expect their problems to be gone. And you need to accept responsibility for the ability to create excellent health. as many are discovering that cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medications is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and or medical imbalances, and the mental imbalances as well, I should point out. And I should also point out that Bashar has also stated that the foundational steps that are required to prevent disease in about 99% of the cases is oxygen, pure water, exercise, removal of stress, eliminating toxins from the system through detoxing, and getting off the meat, which relates to your diet. And I'm going to throw in there excellent sunlight too, because your immune system functions primarily with vitamin D. And in my opinion, the only way you get that one is from the sun. So that's why we have all these sun scares. And Vogel, V-O-G-E-L, also knew that the real origin of illness is in the etheric body. And although the body or emotions sustain a trauma, the etheric body holds the memory of physical or emotional injury, and it can become stagnant, distorted, or stuck. And the result of this unstable or blocked energy is illness. And he discovered that crystals are the common thread in healing that ties together energy, illness, and problems in the etheric body. So I highly suggest you check out Vogel crystals. So back to the story here of the healing and what's going on. It kind of, I thought it was amazing, because I had this on my website like about 8 years before Greg Braden came out with this Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. What I loved about it was a physical visual proof of these concepts. And I knew they worked, but I didn't know exactly how they worked, kind of like monatomic elements. I mean, monatomic elements to me are the topic that nobody talks about. I don't know. I guess there must be some brainwashing program in the mainstream media, because the average people, they don't even doctors. I've been in a room with doctors and I brought up monatomics, and they don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, monatomics to me, it's kind of like in Romania, which is where I am, they have this ancient tradition of taking aloe vera juice, mixing it with honey to cure stomach issues. Well, yeah, and it works. And why does it work? Because the aloe vera plant's got monatomics. And monatomics are high spin electrons. They don't attack disease. They actually reprogram it. So, monatomics is another one of these areas of, amazing benefit in the health area. So anyway, this concept of healing through focused attention and seeing the practitioner or the patient as already having been healed is the key. So your heart brain connection creates this energy space, where then you get into the mental acuity of seeing the person is already healed, and that is the key to the success of that system that Greg Braden has. So and he also has some follow-up videos on why it works and the science behind it, etc. So I thought that was all amazing. I knew it. I knew that it. I know. I've seen it done now. And if you see it, then you kind of get. You start changing your beliefs about what's possible. And then, what I thought was even more interesting, because I knew it worked, but I didn't know why it worked. Now they come out with this new amazing experiment that's done with photons. So they take a photon and they cut it in half, and they send one photon 7 miles in one direction, and the other half they send it 7 miles in the other direction. So they're 14 miles apart physically. And when they affect one photon, it affects the other one, and vice versa. And sometimes the one photon would be affected even before they started doing doing the manipulation. So they're trying to figure out, the scientists trying to figure out, well, what can communicate this quickly, like this instantaneous, you know, how does it travel from one to the other? And then sometimes even before you even do anything, how is that possible? Well, it's because the energy doesn't travel from one to the other. Everything is energetically connected. This is what's key, and what I think, you know, if you're a listener, spend some time thinking about this one in your spare time. Everything is energetically connected. Okay, now we've got, and if you think about taking that a little step further, most of the common theory about science right now, they kind of go back to the Big Bang theory, where they think that at one point in time, maybe the whole universe was the size of a large pea. Okay, and so thus, everything was connected. So even though it's disconnected, in kind of in theory, like in visual terms, because there's multiple P's, infinite number of P's, but it's all energetically connected. And this is why when you affect one, you affect the other. And when you have three master practitioners, like in Beijing, China, seeing you as already healed, they acknowledge the fact that you had a problem. That's one possible reality, but they are creating another possible reality, which is that you're already healed, and they basically override your other belief. And if you have a belief system that's open to this kind of thing, which a lot of people aren't, so I guess you're going to have to go along with your mainstream, you know, medical. But if you're open to this kind of thing, and you can then start learning how to do those kinds of things yourself, if you don't need the three practitioners. So to me, this is the future road of medicine. It's all about helping people. It's about healing people. People stayed at that Beijing Center for like $100 a month, and they were getting, you know, cured of their issues, because it wasn't about the money. It was about healing, and that's what healers should be about, helping people. So I wanted to share that amazing science now that's kind of explaining, does to me anyway, explains why when you affect one part, it affects the other part, and how that works. It also, by the way, connects with another theory that I brought out about 10 years ago, because I first heard it from Bashar, and it was called prime radium. And prime radium is Bashar's theory, basically. No doubt he gets that from his extraterrestrial civilization, that the whole universe is actually a one particle, and a particle is in kind of quotes, because nothing's actually one particle. It's a wave particle, and it manifests as a wave or a particle, depending. But for practical explanation, we'll call it one particle. This one particle travels at infinite speed, has no mass, and thus breaks no laws of physics. And the best way to think about that one and about how it might work would be to visualize a dark room with the light bulb lit up, and that's the one particle. And then in another part of the room, you light up another light bulb, and that would be the particle. You turn off you turn off one light bulb, and then you light up the other one, and what you have is that particle now is in a different place. Okay, now if you turn back on the first one, then the light shifts back. Okay, and then you keep turning them on and off and on and off, and the light travels between the two light bulbs. And then what you'll find is, if you can turn them on and on off fast enough, it looks like both of them are lit up. Okay, so it's kind of like moving your finger faster than, you know, the point where it looks like it's in both places at once. And thus, if you think about that, expand that to the concept of infinity, this particle can be everywhere at once. So there's your connection. It's the same exact idea, I think. Slightly different, but Bashar calls it one particle where everything's connected, and science calls it, you know, the universe is the size of a pea. So at one point in time, it was all connected. And because of this recent discovery, they now realize there's an energetic connection between all parts of the whole. And that's, again, related to our holographic universe, which is also fractal. So the part is connected to the whole, like we're connected to the higher dimensions. And the higher dimensions exist because we're part of them. And you can experience it from the viewpoint of the higher dimension or the viewpoint of the particular part or both simultaneously. So that would be my explanation about that topic. And I want to touch a little bit, because a couple people have written in and asked me what's my opinion about Flat Earth. Okay, well, first off, I'm not going to get into a lot of the pros and the cons, and I've checked into a little bit of stuff on the internet and whatever, and I appreciate that all concepts need to be, re-explored, because we've been fed so much garbage at the educational level that sometimes I think being more educated is actually a detriment now. I mean, I know guys with their PhDs in biology who think that GMO'd food, regular food that's full of pesticides and biogenetic food is like that they're all the same. Like, doesn't matter to them. Like, they think it's all good. Well, I don't know. In my mind, GMO'd food is very harmful. And more Americans ought to wake up and find out what they're eating, because about 90% of your corn and soy, potatoes, it's GMO'd, and it's not good for you. And it's, what it's doing is creating a lot of money for the medical system. And also, that even though nothing is totally purely organic, it's still a better choice than non-organic. And if you have, of course, everybody's situation is different with respect to their budgets and where you obtain these foods. But personally, I mean, I live in the United States, and I find that I can eat really well with reasonable expense, similar to somebody that doesn't eat very well. So that's my experience. And so anyway, with respect to the flat Earth, I did some studying about the logs from the Magellan's voyage and who circumnavigated the planet. And it, by the way, it's been done multiple times since, same voyage. And you can check that out on the internet. Bottom line is, I found out some interesting things about that voyage. Number one, that there was about five ships that were part of that, what do you want to call it, adventure. And actually, only one of them actually circumnavigated the globe. A couple of them returned home, and one was destroyed, and actually Magellan actually died. He was killed on an island about 3/4 of the way home. So he didn't actually make it all the way, and probably a lot of people don't know that little fact. But one of the boats actually did, and the times of everything's logged in the logs there, like where they arrived, where they were, where they, what the time it took, etc. I think that's one to check out. But I'm on the same page with Alex Collier, Simon Parks, Bashar. I'm with that the Earth is oval, you know, and I'm not part of the new hysteria around the flat Earth thing. To my way of thinking, there's only one aspect of that that has some validity, and that's the aspect that we live in a holographic universe, and it's entirely possible through my meditations. What I get is that kind of like a computer disk. If you put a computer, a flat disk into the computer, it projects a 3D image. You think the 3D image is 3D. And there's probably a disk that creates this hologram that's flat, you know, so, but that's the connection to flat. This hologram that we live in is it's like a virtual reality hologram, and with very high technology. And the disk would project a 3D, you know, universe. And I would say that the best way to do that I view of the this whole hologram is that it's all based in consciousness. And as I've said many times on ET Yoga, the language of interpretation, like any computer program, has a language of interpretation. The language of interpretation of a hologram is belief. In simple terms, what you believe is. And that's why the powers that have been controlling this place for so long are very involved with brainwashing you through media and through every other way that they can to control your beliefs. And I personally am not into being programmed, and thus I don't have a television, and I highly recommend you don't have a television. And so do the Pleiadians, by the way. In fact, it's Barbara Marciniak gets most upset about the questions about the flat earth, because if you listen to any of Barbara's comments about it, it's kind of laughable, a little bit more negative than I like to get with respect to labeling. However, I guess each to their own there. I'll kind of move on from that particular topic. Now, another thing that I guess has become, you know, really controversial in sorts, I guess, is the difference between spirituality and religion. And I'm running into more and more people now that really they get it. Like, they get that you can have a deep belief in God or a prime creator or a cosmic consciousness, whatever label you want to use to define something that's infinite, because it can't be defined. As Sri Swami Satchidananda used to say, as many minds, as many gods. Because even if you experience that level and you can't rationalize it, and the rational mind can't comprehend that infinite, but if you do experience those levels and you come back, it's like taking a cup to the ocean. The water takes the shape of the cup. And similarly, when you have those experiences and you come back, it takes the shape of your mind. So in my conception, we're all like thoughts in the mind of God, you know. So to somebody else, it's a personal God. To somebody else, it's not a personal, it's an energy. Or then we use names to be able to talk about these subjects. In point of fact, what we'd really like to talk about, there aren't any words for. So I wouldn't make much of a radio show. Oh, here's ET Yoga. We're going to, for 1 hour, we're going to have silence, you know, because basically the only way to experience those levels is experience. That's it. And probably that's why techniques like meditation and other things have been developed to experience those higher states. And, so, in point of fact, the biggest concern, I'm going to jump to the bottom line here with respect to this thing about spirituality and religion, is that I'll take a quote from Pleiadian channeling, that all religions were created by the Anunnaki, and you can view Sunday service as the club meetings of the Anunnaki. And further, the symbol of the cross is a symbol of the crossing point Nibiru, and that's inhabited by the Anunnaki. And according to the Pleiadians, the final rites given by the priests include a passing of the cross over the chakras, which shuts them down, and next you find yourself in an Anunnaki recycling chamber. And that, to me, is the biggest concern about that spiritual people need to become aware of. And it's not just her talk saying that. Simon Parks has confirmed that as well. Alex Collier. I mean, the point here being is that even if the priest isn't aware of what they're doing, they're taught certain rituals, etc. Basically, even the reincarnation system, and of course in the West, I don't know what there's ever been a poll done on how many people in the West believe in reincarnation, but trust me, reincarnation is. And if you remember past lifetimes, that you know it is, and you know it doesn't matter what other people think. The bottom line here is that there are certain concepts that a master teacher would have to have. One of those is anybody that's enlightened will tell you there's reincarnation because that's the way it is. They're also going to be, watch what they eat. You're going to see that they're not going to be eating dead bodies, which we call meat. You know, they're not going to be involved with that, okay, because it's not compatible with the lower frequency. There's no purpose for a high being to be involved with low frequency. And even the Essenes, ancient Essenes, were strict vegetarians. And that's where the Christ concept took hold. So he was raised around that. And definitely he did teach reincarnation as well. And even from Autobiography of a Yogi, the early Christian church accepted the doctrine of reincarnation, which was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, both 3rd century, and St. Jerome, 5th century. The doctrine was first declared a heresy in 553 AD by the Second Council of Constantinople. And do your research on that one, and then you'll see that it used to be part of Christianity. So if you don't believe in reincarnation to begin with, I guess you wouldn't have any reason to question the reincarnation system, which apparently has been compromised. And one of the ways that strong souls now can get out, apparently, of the system, and you need to know a few little tricks here and there. And I have talked about those on ET Yoga. I guess tonight's program won't permit an expansion of that. But to me, this is the biggest concern here, that you get involved with, it's like getting involved with mainstream medical, and in time, they're going to mess you up with the pills or unnecessary operations or, I don't know, whatever. And it's the same with, aside from all the good things that are being done in medical, especially during accidents and whatever. I mean, to me, medical does wonders for people with in emergency situations, and that's a very valid function that they have. My concern is about how they deal with the mainstream and the inoculations, and again, that are creating so many problems. But I digress there. Bottom line is with this whole idea of spirituality and religion. The biggest concern I have is, was first that there was no conception of enlightenment. It's all based on, you know, which, you know, faith or whatever. So the conception that you can, attain and maintain higher levels of consciousness is not a part of organized religion. And that's my biggest concern always. And in point of fact, it's square one in a real spiritual trip, because when you become aware that there are higher levels of consciousness and you have the ability to attain them, that is what's called the planting of the seed. And that is, then the seed grows at the rate it grows. So you're not even at square one if you're stuck in the religious thinking. But this other concern now that shutting down your chakras because of the last rites that are given, well, personally, I'm not going to have any last rites. And I don't want my chakra system shut down. And I'll do just fine without an intermediary between me and my higher self, like some church religion that was founded by the Anunnaki. Just thought I'd pass that on. I'd like to now close the show in my usual manner by doing the Who Am I technique, sharing the Who Am I technique. Very powerful technique where you focus all your energy in the center of your forehead and you become that spot. And then you ask the question, who am I? And you want to do that when you're at your highest point, peak, however you want to get to that point, get to the highest place you can, become that spot, and then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.